We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Adam Amin of ESPN. We love him. He's with us now. Adam, how you doing? I should probably turn your mic
off.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want to.
There you go.
I mean, I feel like it'd be a little bit more effective.
He's a little
effective,
hot,
but
a little hot.
Do I get paid?
There you go.
Sibilance. There you go. There you go.
I'm doing great. How are you boys? Beautiful. Look at all these people here hanging out.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
We just saw you Monday, and we went over your schedule. Now, I know you did Cavs Monday, Dodgers Tuesday, Cavs Celtics Wednesday. Cavs Celtics Day. Did you have a game yesterday?
I did not have a game yesterday.
You had a day off.
They actually gave you a day off. I flew home from Boston yesterday morning. I was at home for about 10 hours.
Yeah.
Got a workout in, got some laundry in, unpacked, repacked, and hit the airport. We're right back here.
How many miles do you have?
Oh my God.
It's a lot. It's a lot at this point. And maybe one day I'll actually have the opportunity to use it. That'll be delightful.
Exactly, to go on vacation. All right, Adam. The theme for us today has been, you know what? Some things have gone wrong, but we're trying to get the crowd a little fired up here because occasionally you get calls from people who will be like, oh, I'll be happy when the LeBron drama's over. And I'm like, yeah, you want to go back to Alonzo G and Omri Caspi and season being over in December? Because we don't want that. And I think sometimes when you win a lot like the Cavs have, fans kind of get spoiled and you don't appreciate how good things really are, even if they end up losing.
I think that LeBron gets a lot of play, obviously, whether it's positive or negative. Obviously, he has such an impact on the economics of this city, and he has over 100%. The last 4 years. Yeah. And I think nationally, we still don't appreciate him. Obviously, we all recognize for the most part that he's probably the best player in the game and has been for quite some time, and he's still going to be, I think, for a little while longer. And everybody's making the Durant argument and Harden, all that stuff. That's totally fine. That's part of the fun of covering LeBron James. But I don't think we're truly going to appreciate him, what he's done, not only on the court but off the court, until far down the line when we finally see another superstar and now we say, that's the next LeBron. And
right.
Until you have that, I don't think you have the context to appreciate it, because we're still stacking him up with, I still think, the greatest player of all time in Michael Jordan. Jeff Van Gundy was in the Boston Globe yesterday and made a great argument saying that there's a difference between the best player and the best career. LeBron's probably going to go down as having the best career of all time, championships notwithstanding. He's probably going to – he has every record.
Right.
He has passed every legend just about on both of these lists.
He might pass Kareem if he wants to play long enough.
And he wants to play, and I think he will. He probably will pass Kareem in terms of point total and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He might go down as the greatest scorer in the history of the NBA, regular season and postseason. But – until another guy comes along and we start to compare and contrast and contextualize, we're never really going to truly appreciate what LeBron has done in the game. And obviously, I don't think until if he were to leave or if he were to stay and then retire, he'll never be truly appreciated for what he's done off and on the court.
So, Adam, in Game 5, LeBron goes 26-9 and 6-ish, and we come on the air and say LeBron had a bad game.
Yeah.
And he was tired, and he didn't look himself. I'm like, man, we are spoiled.
Spoiled.
Because if that's any other player, you're like, that's a great game.
He sets such a high bar.
Adam, if it's not his averages for the playoffs are 33-9-9.
9-9.
So it's like, if he doesn't score 35 in 10-10, then it's not good enough.
We look at it as a bit of a lackluster effort. Now,
yeah.
Now part of that is, listen, the Eastern Conference is not great. I think when we stack it up to the other side, certainly, I think that's a fair assessment to make. Not to say that Boston's not great. Not to say if Boston or Cleveland went to the finals, they couldn't make it a series with either of those
teams. Teams not look great.
Those teams haven't looked great either. But there's only so many elite teams in this league anyway, and especially in the East. So understanding that that's part of the caveat to it, but LeBron is such a head above everybody else in terms of the bar that he's set, in terms of the minimum that we expect from him. And because he's been so spectacular over the course of these playoffs, and now if he's hit a wall or hit a bit of a lull or he is fatigued, and I can kind of understand why he would be at this point, we still don't necessarily judge him on the same scale. We are judging him on a completely different curve than anybody else right now, outside of maybe I would say probably Kevin Durant, based on what Durant did last night.
We're talking with Adam Amin of ESPN. He'll be on the call, ESPN Radio, tonight as the Cavs play the Celtics in Game 6. We last saw you on Monday heading into Game 4. Obviously, the Cavs demolished the Celtics in that game, and then the Celtics demolished the Cavs here in Game 5, or in Boston Game 5. It's been amazing how much the home court has mattered in this series. Have you ever seen anything to this extreme?
Not deep into the playoffs.
Yeah,
like
right.
I've seen this in the first round. I saw it in the second round last year with Boston and Washington. But I'm so surprised. And I said this to you on Monday. The defensive inconsistency that we've seen in this series. And I could say the same thing for the West, too.
Yeah.
The defensive inconsistency that we've seen in the playoffs so far is mind-boggling to me. And I understand that there is a significant level of talent on both of the sides of this playoffs, East and West. In this series, we have LeBron. We have some talent around him, but it's really LeBron the focal point, and all these burgeoning young stars for Boston that are going to be superstars at some point. But in this series specifically, I can understand it a little bit for Boston because they have to play collectively well as a group. They don't have a Kyrie right now. And if they had Kyrie Irving, they win Game 4, I think. Here's why. They worked really hard to go from down 19 to down 7 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a collective effort by Rozier and Brown and Jason Tatum and Horford, all these guys. And when you get to that point and you have a healthy Kyrie Irving, that's when Kyrie Irving says, give me the ball. Now it's my turn.
Yeah.
And we saw that last year. Remember when LeBron picked up those four fouls in the first half of Game 4 last year in this series? It was Kyrie that came in for Cleveland, took over the game, and then still in the fourth quarter when LeBron was still on the floor, it was, give me the ball.
Sure.
I'm going to take over. Boston doesn't have that right now. They can feel comfortable leaning on multiple guys at home. They don't necessarily feel that way on the road. And I would say something similar, not to the full extent, but something to that extent for the Cavaliers with their role players.
Adam Amin's with us from ESPN. He's on the call, ESPN Radio tonight with JB, right, tonight?
Yep, John Berry.
That's his partner for the call. In fact, I've heard you. I listened to you guys on the last game.
Game five.
Yeah. I was driving home, and I happened to I'm like, I'm going to listen to you guys. I know my boy Adam, so you guys did a great job.
Thanks,
but so the lineup changes, right? I mean, the Semi Ojeleye thing.
Semi Ojeleye. Do you know that song?
Send me on my way. Send me on my way. We made a song.
You guys made a parody song?
Semi Ojeleye. Yeah. So it's like Semi Ojeleye apparently screwed up the whole Cavs rotation with Kyle Korver. Like, what do you make of that whole thing?
I will say that the move to go to Baines and lean to a seven-man rotation, that's a great move. That's a great adjustment to make by Brad Stevens. And it's very difficult this deep into the playoffs because Aaron Baines hadn't started since the first round.
Yep.
And that's when they went big early in the series against Milwaukee. And then Brad Stevens felt, and he told us, I got to take him out of the starting lineup because Milwaukee's too fast and athletic. I think we've seen that Cleveland is not about fast, athletic right now. Cleveland's about banging down low, getting offensive rebounds. Tristan Thompson was the game changer for Cleveland in Game 3 and Game 4.
Yeah.
And frankly, to get off to a good start in Game 2 on the road in Boston as well. I think it took a while for Brad Stevens to finally say, you know what, I'd rather risk the lack of athleticism and the lack of defensive versatility where I can switch 1 through 5 and say, forget it, I got to take Tristan Thompson out of the lane. He's had the best playoff of anybody in terms of offensive rebounding percentage, so I got to neutralize that. I thought that was a great move, and I think Ty Lue was a little bit late to recognize. He was late. And this is the knock on Ty Lue right now, and that's been the knock on him. I still say he gets scapegoated a little bit too much, and I'm saying that from a national perspective,
and you guys are on the inside. It's fair.
I think he gets scapegoated too much, and I think LeBron gets too much credit, although in these playoffs you can understand why as well based on what we just discussed a moment ago. But he got out-coached in that Game 5. And to get off to such a bad start, you can't afford that on the road. And that's been the bigger factor, I think, in this series.
Yeah.
This has been a first-quarter series so far. Outside of Game 2, when the Cavaliers got off to a great start, then LeBron got banged up a little bit, and he didn't really seem the same after he got that shoulder to the jaw from Jason Tatum. So that shifted the tenor of the game pretty much immediately. But it's been a first-quarter series so far. You get off to a good start, you get engaged offensively, and that's a trend that everybody in the playoffs right now is dealing with. Houston, Golden State, and these two teams, when they're engaged or when they're shooting well offensively, they're engaged early defensively, and that's been the case in this series.
Adam, usually when Kevin Love gets off to a good start, he usually has a good game.
Yeah.
Game 5, he scored 10 in the first quarter, scored 4 the rest of the way. Overall, he's been pretty bad in the playoffs. I mean, he was good against Toronto.
Yeah, a couple good games against Toronto.
In Indiana and Boston, for the most part, he has failed to perform. He's averaging less than 15 points a game in the playoffs. I've been extremely critical of him, and I think it's fair. You know, you expect some of the inconsistencies that you've talked about from the average players. Kevin Love's an all-star. He should be playing better.
I agree. I agree. And I expect more from him because getting to know him the last couple of years and covering this team and seeing them make deep playoff runs, he's been a factor. But where has he been the factor? As the number three option behind LeBron and Kyrie. This is a bit of an adjustment. And forget about the regular season numbers. Playoff time is significantly different because of everything we've talked about, the adjustments that coaches and teams make defensively, the level of intensity that ratchets up at the defensive end of the floor. And he hasn't necessarily had the best matchups in round one and round three. So I'll take that into consideration. But you're perennial all-star.
Yeah,
you're in the middle of a long contract with big money. You are a big money player. So you have to play like a big money player. And what's killing this Cleveland team right now is the lack of interior game from Kevin Love. It's one thing if you're not going to make shots but you're still taking good looks. He's not getting a lot of good looks to begin with. And then when he's out of it offensively, when he's not in a rhythm, he's not really doing much outside of setting screens and maybe being an outlet for LeBron. Outside of that, I need him to either make shots early so that you spread the floor like we saw in the Toronto series,
right,
or you're going to have to man up and post up down low. And it's hard to do that because of the lineup changes that Boston has made and seemingly is going to stick with. It's hard to post up when it's Morris, Horford, and Aaron Baines in the front court. That's a difficult front court to go
against. He could post up Jalen Brown a little bit.
Yeah.
But when he's on, when it's a bigger guy on him, he struggles.
And the problem is you can't get that matchup as often as you'd like. You want Love against Jalen Brown, but it's hard to do that because there's a level of versatility and flexibility that Boston's defense has. Even with all those other guys with a large front court, they can switch more often than not 1 through 4 and more often than not 1 through 5.
You know, Adam, we always talk about how Kevin Love, it seems like almost every game he gets 2 fouls, like, quick. And then he gets pulled out of the game. I mean, like, Brad Stevens doesn't pull guys out of the game for fouls. Like, I think Kevin, it's always so important for him to get involved early in these games, whether it's in the post you talked about or some shots. Like, if he's going to have a big game, he's probably going to score 10 points, 9, 10, 11 points in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden he gets it rolling. But, like, if he doesn't, if he scores 2 in the first quarter, he's gonna score 9 the whole game.
Yeah, and again, the other thing, too, if you're not going to get double-figure points, you're not going to get 15 points, I mean, he's got to hit the glass harder. And again, I understand that that's a difficult thing to do in this particular series with the lineup that's out there. You have to have him out there. He is too much of a threat.
We miss fat Kevin Love, man.
Stout Kevin Love. But
you're so politically correct.
I do this for a living.
I know you do.
You got to throw – like, if he makes shots on the perimeter – the tenor of Cleveland's offense changes so much. There's a reason that Ty Lue stuck with him after game one of the Toronto series. When everybody was saying, take him out, Valanciunas is killing him. He had 20 and 20 that game. He stuck with Love. He started to make shots, and the entire floor spacing changed for Cleveland. If he can make a couple of threes early in the game, you force Boston to shift defensively. And if you can take advantage and transition a little bit, Aaron Baines is going to be off the floor because he's one of the guys. He hustles and gets up and down the floor, but he's not going to be able to do it consistently because he's going to wear out. So you got to be able to take advantage of that.
It's amazing that both the Cavs and Warriors are on the verge of elimination.
It's unreal.
Probably both series go to 7, especially with Chris Paul out.
If I were leaning, I mean, listen, the narrative here, I mean, we know the Chris Paul element is the biggest element of that series by far. I mean, I would look at Golden State to probably win this series now because I think you're missing too much of a playmaker and scorer to make up for that. As good as Eric Gordon is, now you're taking him off of running off screens and catch and shoot. Now you're forcing him into a playmaking role. And again, Eric Gordon's a really good shooter off the dribble, excellent shooter off the dribble, but you still have to run the point now. So that's a little bit more difficult now for Houston. So I think what you just said is apt. In this series, we know what the narrative is. Could this be it? Is this it? Is this the last time he wears a Cleveland uniform? If I had to lean one way or another, I really don't think he's leaving. I just feel like this is a great spot for him. It is home. He can still win in the next couple of years if he makes a move.
Kevin Love could get traded. The eighth pick could get traded.
There's still an opportunity in a small window. I think there's a small window of opportunity remaining. But I also think LeBron has bigger plans for beyond this, and he doesn't need to live here after his playing career. He can live wherever he wants after his career is over, but he has an opportunity to be part of the front office here, I would think, at some point if he wanted to be. He has a potential stake in what's going to happen here in Cleveland. So if I had to lean one way or the other, I think he still stays, but the narrative's going to be there. And more importantly, he's got that final streak going, and he wants to keep that going. Yeah. And that's what's at stake tonight. Part of his legacy down 3-2 in a series, not a lot behind him in terms of the roster, leaving a lot to be desired, going up against this young, exuberant, hard-nosed Boston team. Can he do it on his own to tie it, and can he do it on his own to send him to the finals again?
Adam, I know you got to go because you got a job to do.
Yep.
Last thing, though, because in addition to your basketball expertise, obviously you know baseball extremely well. You do play-by-play. Give us a minute on the Tribe. By the way, John Morosi today suggested that the Indians and Cubs, the two teams most likely to get Machado. From an Indians perspective on Machado and your thoughts on, you know, where the Indians are at right now as they're only 500.
Again, it's going to be an interesting transition if he were to come here to go back to third base. He switched. I mean, he's still one of the best defensive players in the game.
Especially at third.
Yeah. He was him and Arenado as close as we have to the top of the game in terms of offense and defense. I think the transition would be interesting. I think it eventually would work out just fine. I think he fits in the lineup here. I think you need a bat at third base, and if he can heat up, which typically he does once you get towards midseason like he did last year, that's a really good move. Are you going to be able to keep him? That's
probably
a big question. Probably not. Yeah. And he's going to want to test the free agent market anyway, and I could see him ending up in a place like New York down the line, all that stuff. I think in Chicago, the Addison Russell issue has become quite apparent. He's trying not to let it swirl about him too much and affect his play, but, I mean, he's going to be on his way out, and he's going to be a rental for somebody because he's going to want to try to win now, and you can do it in this division.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, this is the NL West and the AL Central are weak divisions right now, and there's a major opportunity with a move or two in your pitching staff and in your lineup to all of a sudden propel yourself above everybody else in the fray that is the logjam here in the AL Central.
Adam, will you get some sleep, buddy?
One of these
days,
man.
The hardest working man in the business.
One of these days,
we
boys.
Love him. He's one of the best. He's great. Adam,
he's a rock star.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, bro.
As always, man.
For
your time.
Appreciate
you guys. Adam Amin of ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.